Welcome back, everybody, to Amid Yomi. Today we're to Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis 55b, and we are on the bottom of Daf Nun Hey Amid Aleph. So if you remember where this discussion started a few days ago, we had a whole conversation about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that he had one sheep which was violating the rules of carrying on Shabbos. But we pointed out Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was very, very wealthy, so it can't be that just one. What does it mean, just one? Which one? So rather, it was his neighbor's sheep, and he refused to rebuke her when she was doing something wrong. And then we went into a whole discussion about how important it is to rebuke people, and even those who are completely righteous, a big tzaddikim, if they don't rebuke those who are doing the wrong thing, they are going to be punished. This leads us into now today's discussion, which is whether people can be punished, whether people die and suffer only if they have sinned, or if it's even if they have not sinned. And this leads us then into a discussion about certain figures in Tanakh, which we may have associated with certain sins, but the Gemara tells us we should not think that they sinned in those ways. So let's get started. Amar Ravami, Ravami says, "Ein misa b'lo chayv nisur b'lo avon." There is no death without transgression, and there's no suffering without sin. How do we know this? "Ein misa b'lo chayv tiksev hanevesh achotes hi tamos bein lo yisa b'avon ava avo yisa b'avon abein tzidkas atzadik alav tiyeh v'rish asarash alav tiyeh." So the pasuk teaches us that you're only going to have death as long as there's sin. "Ein yisurim b'lo avon tiksev," and how do we know that there's no suffering without sin? Because the pasuk tells us, "V'kati b'shev v'pshah." Everyone struggles, everyone has things that they have to work on, everyone has sins that they've done, but the only time that Yisur, that suffering and death is going to come, is when there is sin involved. Top of Nun Hey Amid Beis. Meisvei, we have a challenge on Ravami's statement. Amru Alchei Asher Sofnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim said to Hashem, Ribono Sholam, and Nei Makanasta, Misa Al Adam Arishon. Why did you have to kill Adam Arishon? Amru Alchei Mitzvah Kalitzi Visi Vavar Alea. Hashem said, I gave him one easy mitzvah. Do not eat from that tree. And they violated it. That's why there was death. Amru Lova Halo Moshe Aron Shekimu Kol HaTorah Kuhu Vameisua. But what about Moshe and Aron who kept the entire Torah? And they still died. To Amru Alchei Mikra Echa Latzadik LaRasha Latov VeGomer. So Hashem responded back. The pasuk tells us that death comes to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the bad. So what this response of Hashem seems to imply is that death does exist without sin, because Moshe and Aaron died, even though it seems, at least in this part of the Gemara, they have not sinned. So how could it be that we see that death does exist without sin? So answers the Gemara, Hu damar ki aitana. So Rav Ami is holding in accordance with the following brisa. Ditanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Af Moshe v'Aaron b'cheta mesu, that even Moshe and Aaron, they died because of their sins. What are their sins? Shenemar yan lohem antembi. Because it says, because you did not believe in me, when Moshe hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and this sin, so this is where he was punished for. But Hashem implies that if it was not for the fact that you didn't listen to me, meaning if you would have listened to me, then Moshe and Aaron would have been able to stay alive. So we see it. This is the shot that Moshe and Aaron really did have sins that caused their death. Then Rabbi Ami, who says that sin is what causes death, and if someone has not sinned, they're not going to die, this could still exist because we have no longer any problems. But now the Gemara comes with a different challenge. Meisvei, we have another problem on Rabbi Ami. Again, Rabbi Ami is the one who said that you cannot have death without sin. Arba meisu be'et yoshel nachash. There are four people who died as a result of the original sin, meaning that they didn't have any sins themselves, and only because of the original sin of Adam, Chav, and the snake, that's why they died. Ve'eluhem ben Yamin ben Yaakov, Amram, Avi, Moshe, Vishai, Avi, David, Vekilov, Ben, David. And who are the four people? So Ben Yamin, the son of Yaakov, Amram, the father of Moshe, Yishai, the father of David, and Kilov, the son of David. It's good Musar. All the Bali Musar point out that notice how the greatest leaders we've had, like Moshe and David, all of these leaders, they have sinned. It's important. Sin is what's supposed to build us up. We don't search it out. We don't seek it out. But when people do sin, it's supposed to help fuel our greatness. So these are the four people that they haven't sinned. Nukul Gemara, Levar mi Yishai avi David. All of these is an oral tradition, the fact that they've never sinned except Yishai ben David. We have pretty explicitly that he only died because of the sin of the Nachash. The Mefarish Beikra, because the Pasuk says, Amasa sham Avshalom tachas Yoav ala tzavav Amasa ben Yishmo Yisra ha-Yisraeli asher ba el Avigail bas Nachash achos truya im Yoav. Because when referring to Yishai, it says Avigail, his daughter, bas Nachash, the daughter of Nachash. What does this mean, Nachash? V'chi bas Nachash ave? Was Avigail really the daughter of Nachash? No, ba'alo bas Yishai ave. Really, Yishai was her father. Ella, what does it mean? Bas Misha Meis Be'et Yoshel Nachash. Rather, it's calling her Bas Nachash because it's the daughter of the person who died as a result of the sin of the snake. So now the Gemara comes and asks a question based on this. Mani, so who is the author of this whole brisa? If we're talking about, it's the initial brisa of the whole discussion between Hashem and the Malachim. So it's not just the four people who died without sin, because Vayika Moshe Aaron. Moshe Aaron also died without sin. El Rav Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He rather, this is talking about Shimon ben Elazar. Vishmamina Yesh Misa Bolchei Vishisurim Belo Avon. And we see from here that these four people, they never sinned, and yet they still died and they suffered. Utiyofted Ravami, Tiyofted, and we see that this is a rejection, a complete and total rejection of Rabbi Ami, that there could still be death even without sin. Good. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss various personalities in Tanakh that we may have thought sin, but really we can see that maybe they didn't. And again, this is based on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, where it attributed the sin to him, even though he's not the one who necessarily did it. It was his neighbor, and he just failed to rebuke them. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kola Omer Ruvain Chata Eino Ela Toa. Anyone who says that Ruvain sinned, remember the sin with Ruvain and Bilah, that he moved the bed after Rachel died. When Rachel died, Yaakov moved his bed into the tent of Bilah, so Ruvain was upset about this, so he moved it into Leah's tent. So the simple pshat of the pasuk seems to be that Reuven had an affair with Bilah, but comes the Gemara and says, anyone who says that this is what happened and that Reuven sinned in this way is mistaken. How do we know? Because the pasuk says that Yaakov had 12 sons. We see that all of them were equal. They were all tzaddikim. But the pasuk says pretty explicitly that Reuven was with Bilhah, the concubine of his father. Rather, it means that Reuven just moved the bed. Since he just moved the bed of his father from the tent of Bilhah into his mother Leah's tent, the Torah mentions it and considers it as if he was actually with her. It says the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon Elazar taught, Mutzal oso tzaddik me oso avon. That tzaddik Reuven was actually saved from that sin, v'loba maisiz el yado, because this deed did not come to his hand, meaning he was never actually with Bilhah. How do we know this? Because the pasuk says, "Efshar asid zaro la'amor al harayiv avolomar aru shochei v'meishis aviv." Is it really possible that Reuven's descendants, his yorshim, would go ahead and go on to Harival and say, "Cursed is the one who was with his father's wife." But he's the one who did so. This is actually the point where many poskim say that if someone struggles in a certain area, let's say someone doesn't keep Shabbos, so if they're going to be the ones to get the aliyah about keeping Shabbos, that would be a problem. Normally, someone who's not from can get an aliyah, but if they're going to get the aliyah of the specific thing that they're violating, that would be a problem, because it can't be over here that Reuven's descendants are the ones saying that you're not allowed to be with your father's wife, but he was. So what does it mean when the pasuk says that he was with his father's wife? Elboni matava. Rather, he was just offended for his mother Leah, because Amar im achos imi haisa tsara imi, meaning now that Rachel's gone, Rachel was a good competition, or was the other wife to my mom. Shivchas achos imi tei tsara imi, but now you're going to move their bed into Bilhah's tent after Rachel's gone. Amaru bilbo es matza, and therefore he was offended on his mother's behalf, so he moved the bed into his mother's tent. Says the Braisa. Others say that Reuven mixed up two beds, achas shchina ve'achas shalav, one of the shchina and one of his father's bed. Good. Now says the Gemara Kitanai. Really, this whole discussion whether Reuven actually was with Bilhah or not is actually machlokes tanoim. Says the Braisa. The pasuk says pachas kamayim al tosar. When Yaakov was kind of rebuking Reuven and telling him, you lost your right to be the national leader because you acted so quickly and harshly and without really thinking the whole thing through, so he says this word, pachas. So what's this word, pachas? So the Gemara says that this is an acronym for certain things. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, pazta, that you acted too hastily, chavta, you became liable, salta, and you belittled. Rabbi Shu Omer, pasata al das, that the pay is for you trampled on the law, chatasa, that you sinned, zanisa, that you acted with znus. So according to this sheet, it seems like he did do something. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, pilalta, Rabbi Gamliel says, that you prayed, chalta, that you daven, zarcha, tfilasacha, that your tefillah ended up coming through. Rabbi Gamliel says that we still need to hear the pshat of modai. What's this referring to? Rabbi Elazar ha-modai, omer, hafoch es ateva vidorsha, that we have to flip the words and go zayin, then hey, then pay. Oh, what's the hey there for? It's really supposed to be a ches. So many of the mefarshim explain that really those are interchangeable. They look the same. So what it means is zizata, that you trembled here, hata'a, that you drew back, and parchachay mimcha, and then the sin went away from you. Rava Amar Amre Larbi Yirmiya Baraba Pachas, what's this referring to? Again, backwards. Zacharta Uncho Shel Davar, meaning starting with the Zion, that you remember the punishment for this matter. Chilisa Atzmecha Choli Gadol, you made yourself sick, that you held yourself back from this. And Pirashta Milachto, that you held yourself back from sinning. So we see, based on the different acronyms for this word, Pachas, that there's a machlokas whether he actually sinned with her or not. It seems like he did not, that he was able to hold himself back from committing this sin. Now the Gemara is going to go into different characters, again throughout Tanakh, of people who we may have thought sin, but then Reuven, B'nai Eli, B'nai Shmuel, David, Ushlomo, V'yoash, Simon. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kol Amar B'nai Eli Chatu, Eino Ela Toeh. Anyone who says that the sons of Eli was the Kohen Gadol, anyone who says that they sinned, they are making a mistake. The Psukim seem to imply that they committed the sin of adultery, and his sons, Chafni and Pinchas, seem to be liable of this, but says the Gemara, anyone who says that they actually did this sin, they are making a mistake. Shenamar V'sham Shnei, B'nai Eli, Chafni, Pinchas, Kohanim, Lashem, because it says that the sons of Eli, Chafni, and Pinchas were actually priests in Kohanim for Hashem. So Savrala, Kirav, Sarabi Yonasan seems to be holding like Rav. Damarav, Pinchas, Lochata, because Rav says that Pinchas did not sin. Ma kish chafni lo pinchas. And he holds that our pasuk compares chafni to pinchas. Ma pinchas lo chata, af chafni lo chata. It just says, pinchas did not sin, so too did chafni not sin. Elamani mekayim asheish kivun asan Hashem. So what does the pasuk mean? When the pasuk says that he was laying with women, that he was committing adultery, so rather, mitoch sheshiu es kinehem shegohachu itzel ba'alehen, ma'ale aleem ha'kasuv ki ushchavum. So says the Gemara, they didn't commit the sin of adultery. They did other things that were not necessarily so kosher, but they didn't do adultery because what happened was they would basically delay people who needed to bring certain karbonos, and since they would delay them, so the women had to end up staying overnight by around Yerushalayim, so that way they can go and finish their whole carbon situation, and because they would keep the women overnight, it was as if they slept with them because they kept them away from their husbands. Now the Gemara goes on this topic. Gufa Amar Rav, let's see what Rav had said previously. Pinchas lo chata, that Pinchas never sinned. Shnemar v'achia ben achitov achi ichavod ben Pinchas ben Eli HaKohen Hashem v'gomer. Efshar chait bali adova akasum yachso. So the pasuk goes back and talks about Pinchas and gives all of the ichas. Is it really possible that Pinchas was someone who sinned like this? And we include him in the honorable Yichus of Kohanim when talking about his grandson Achia, v'alo kvar nemar yachris Hashem la'isha sher yasena er ve'one me'ale Yaakov u'magish mincha l'Hashem tzvakos. But the pasuk says that Hashem is going to cut off anyone who sins like this, and Rav learns out this pasuk im Yisrael hu lo yelo er b'chacham v'la'one b'talmidim. If the adulterer was someone who was a Yisrael, meaning not a Kohen, so he's not going to have any important descendants who are amongst the Chachamim, and the Kohen who lo yelo bein magish mincha. And if he's a Kohen, then he's not going to have any descendants who will be good Kohanim. So it can't be that it's tracing back the Yichus of Pinchas' grandson and includes Pinchas in there if it's really true that he did commit this sin. El av shmamina Pinchas lo chata. Does this not teach us pretty clearly that Pinchas did not sin? El haksiv asher yishkivun. But the pasuk clearly says that he was committing adultery. So what do we do this with this yishkivin ksiv? Rather, what this means is that he lay with them in the singular, instead of the plural, which means, Rav is saying, that you're right, Pinchas did not sin, but Chafni did sin. V'aksiv al banai kilo tova hashmua. But the pasuk says that Eli said to his sons, my sons, I've heard the report of the bad things, and he's talking banai in plural. Rather, Amar Rav Nachum Reitzlik biniksiv. Rather, it's not saying my sons, it's just my son. Again, only referring to Chafni, who was the one who sinned. But ask the Gemara again. V'aksiv ma'avirim. But the pasuk says that you are causing the people to transgress. This is what Eli's saying, and again, this seems to be in the plural, talking to both his sons. So the Gemara again, Amar Avuna Bereder of Yeshua Ma'avirim Ksiv. Rather, it's talking about, again in the singular, that you are causing the people to transgress. Av Haksiv Bnei Belial, but it says the sons of Eli were wicked men in plural again, so it seems that Chafni and Pinchas both sinned. No, rather, Mitok Shayolo Lepinchas Lamachos Lechafni Velo Micha Ma'ala Lavakas of Kiluchata. And this kind of brings it full circle how we got into this discussion. Since Pinchas could have protested and stopped Chafni from doing these sins, it's as if he sinned as well, but he didn't actually commit this sin. So we learn a lot about rebuke. We learn a lot about different stories in Tanakh. Tomorrow we're going to have more stories in Tanakh. This is Nun Hayman Bezer. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.